Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the Taoiseach says staffing levels at Letterkenny University Hospital is further impounding the pressures facing the hospital in dealing with COVID-19. Meanwhile, a Lifford GP says it takes very small changes in the number of COVID cases in Donegal for Letterkenny University Hospital to become overwhelmed. A former Garda inspector in Donegal has described the Road Traffic Act as a basket case. And Garda have confirmed that a fire at a solicitor's office in Dunloe last week was started deliberately. Those stories to follow in full plus more. And we'll have the latest in sport coming up with Oisin Kelly. But first in news, a five-year investigation into mother and baby homes has found an appalling level of infant mortality among children born there. Out of the 18 homes examined by the Commission of Investigation, 9,000 children died. 56,000 unmarried mothers, ranging in age from 12 years old to women in their 40s, along with 57,000 children, lived in the institutions. The Commission says women who give birth outside marriage were subjected to particularly harsh treatment in the period looked at from 1922 to 1998. It found that was supported by, contributed to and condoned by the institutions of the state and the churches. Taoiseach Micheál Martin says the report makes often harrowing reading.
It opens a window onto a deeply misogynistic culture in Ireland over several decades, with serious and systematic discrimination against women, especially those who gave birth outside marriage.
The Children's Minister says mother and baby homes were places of callousness, brutality and shame. Roderick O'Gorman says the death rate was truly shocking.
Around 9,000 children died in the homes during the period of investigation, 15% of all children who were born in these homes. And it is difficult to conceive of the scale of the tragedy and the heartbreak behind that figure of 9,000 children and babies who died.
Meanwhile, speaking earlier to Greg Hughes on the 9 till noon show, Mark McCollum, who was born in a mother and baby home in the north, says today is a significant day.
It's a strange day. It's like there's been several reports before, and there's been, there's been a false dawn before. We're trying to keep it on the agenda, as it were. You know, this has to be sorted, and this can't be forgotten about, and can't be sort of expunged from history. You know, and you can't let it off the hook by saying, "Oh, it's different times then, it's different." No, it's wrong then, it's wrong now. You know, it's wrong. Full stop. And the Irish government take full responsibility for what they did. And neglecting the support of the girls that went, and how the children were treated. Like, there's at least 9,000 children that died in these institutions, you know. And the level of neglect, the infant mortality rate was twice the national average. It was just the children were seen as I say, like, as I was, like, we were seen as bastards. We didn't count. You know, we weren't proper children. You know, we were born out of sin. You know, with a spoiled fruit, you know, it had to be redeemed by putting it into good Christian families to save our souls, you know.
158 people are in ICU with COVID-19, the highest number since the pandemic began. 1,700 patients are in hospital nationwide with the virus. The HSE says around 4,000 healthcare workers are unavailable at present due to being sick with COVID or close contacts. Environment Minister Eamon Ryan says the numbers have to be brought under control.
And it's critical that in the next week particularly we get those numbers down. I think we can. They're starting to go down. The positivity rate is starting to decrease. If we collectively make that big push for this next week to avoid social contact, to avoid transmission, we will avoid going beyond the surge capacity, and that's the most critical thing in the next week.
Well, the Taoiseach says staffing levels at Letterkenny University Hospital are further impounding the pressures facing the hospital in dealing with COVID-19. Around 170 staff members are currently absent from work at the hospital after testing positive for the virus or being deemed a close contact. A number of patients had to be treated in ambulances outside Letterkenny University Hospital on Sunday night because there was no room inside. As of last night, 87 people with COVID-19 were being treated at the hospital, a rise of 8 on the previous figure. Leo Varadkar says the government is watching Donegal closely as it relates to COVID-19.
you know, Donegal, which has been more hit by the pandemic than most parts of Ireland, certainly most parts of the Republic, is an area that we're keeping a very close eye on, because you know, with sustained high levels for quite a number of weeks now, what's happening in Donegal at the moment could well be what is going to happen in the rest of the country as the weeks go on. As you rightly say, this time of year it's not unusual to have overcrowding in hospitals, and actually, believe it or not, the trolley numbers are 70% lower now than they were this time last year, but it's in a very different context now because of COVID and this terrible virus that unfortunately has a very high mortality rate. And I got a report on Letterkenny today just to see what the situation was in the hospital. And as you know, additional beds have been opened. But one of the difficulties that we run into is that there are a lot of staff, about 170 staff, who are either out sick because of COVID or are close contacts themselves. But some have come in, even though they were off duty, to help staff those beds. And we're very grateful for them to having done that, because we need to make sure that every bed we have is open for the next couple of weeks.
Meanwhile, a Lifford GP says it takes very small changes in the number of COVID-19 cases in Donegal for Letterkenny University Hospital to become overwhelmed. Dr. Paul Armstrong says the hospital never had enough ICU beds to begin with. He told today's 9 till noon show that while there have been improvements in the health service, pressures still exist.
Very small changes in numbers make very significant impact at the stage at which they need intensive support and care. Now, the treatment has improved a lot. The mortality and death rates are a lot better than they were earlier on. The health system has protocols and treatment regimes in place that nobody knew anything about just 12 months ago. So there have been huge improvements in that. But when you consider that Letterkenny, I think, had about 6 or 7 ICU beds 12 months ago, it was never enough for our service even then. But it takes tiny, tiny changes for that to be overwhelmed. And a lot of people, because it's mild, because they get tests done, maybe because a colleague or a family member has it and they find out they're positive and they feel perfectly fine, or a lot of people have very mild cold symptoms or just the taste and smell issues. But a small number of people become very sick, and they're not always the people who are on who have other medical conditions. They can be previously healthy and very well people, and it's only when somebody, you either treat a person like that or somebody very close to you is in that category and ends up short of breath and with low oxygen saturation values, that you brings it home to you that this is quite dangerous.
Latest figures show that new clusters of COVID-19 in nursing homes increased by 130% last week. There were a total of 54 in these settings compared to 22 the week before. The total number of new clusters in all environments increased by 47%. There were 226 clusters in various settings compared to 154 the previous week. Stormont ministers are receiving an update on the COVID situation in Northern Ireland hospitals. The First Minister admitted last night the executive hasn't got many options left and may have to consider another curfew if the current measures don't stop the spread of the virus. Arlene Foster has also been outlining what ministers will be discussing during their meeting.
Well, clearly we'll be having an update from the Minister of Health in relation to where the health service is at, where our COVID numbers are at, and indeed where the spread of the infection is at this present moment in time. We'll also be wanting to hear how the vaccination programme is being rolled out, and as I've said, I'm very proud of the fact that Northern Ireland is leading the way in terms of the numbers of people being vaccinated per head of population.
It comes as a further 22 COVID-related deaths have been recorded in the north. 55 people are in ICU, 38 of whom are in ventilators. There are 751 patients with coronavirus being treated in hospital in Northern Ireland. Meanwhile, there are currently 149 active care home outbreaks. The North Department of Health says data on testing and hospitalisations is not yet available today due to technical issues. Another COVID vaccine has moved a step closer for approval for use across Europe. It's after an application was received by the European Medicines Agency for the AstraZeneca vaccine. A decision could be made by the EMA by January the 29th. Meanwhile, there are calls from doctors and those working on the front line in general practices to be prioritised for vaccination. Dr. Amy Morgan, a GP based in Drogheda, says they have yet to hear when they are likely to get the job.
When you do hear anecdotally some people receiving vaccines who are not, you know, working in front-facing roles, and we have yet to receive formal communication about what the system is going to be for vaccinating us and our practice staff, who have been amazing throughout this whole pandemic. You know, our administrative team and our practice nurses who do the bulk of the vaccination in our practice. So we haven't had that communication yet.
Gardaí and Donegal are urging the public to comply with the COVID travel limit and restrictions which are in place. €100 on-the-spot fines for anyone breaching COVID laws have come into force today. Exercising within 5 kilometres of your home and travelling for food, shopping or other essential items are deemed reasonable excuses. Gardaí Sean Sweeney says it's in everyone's interest to comply with the regulations.
We're just asking, I know majority of the public are doing what's asked of them, and you know, we're very appreciative because it makes our job a lot easier, but it's tough times for everybody, and hopefully we'll all pull together, we'll all get through it. It becomes more of an issue at certain times of the day when you, more people are gathering, so that's what we're trying to avoid, you know, and it is an issue, and we just ask for people's cooperation with us.
The Department of Education Inspectorate will engage with schools on a weekly basis during Level 5 restrictions. That's according to the teachers' union, the INTO. It's over concerns raised by parents that some schools haven't been able to set up remote learning for students. General Secretary of the INTO, John Boyd, says schools have worked as quickly as possible since receiving the latest public health guidance.
The difference this time from the first is that the inspectorate now are taking a much more hands-on approach, and they're going to be linking in with schools on a weekly basis. So, look, if it's for 3 weeks, I think people are going to have to be a little bit patient about week one. I mean, it was Friday night before schools were even told that they were allowed under public health guidance to distribute books this week. So books were distributed, I know, in a lot of schools yesterday and today.
Gardaí have confirmed that a fire at a solicitor's office in Dunloe last week was started deliberately. The fire broke out at the premises in Dunloe Business Park in the early hours of Thursday morning, January the 2nd. No injuries were reported. The investigation is ongoing and Gardaí are continuing to appeal to anyone with information to contact them in Milford.
Sport in Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for home workouts at michaelmurphysports.ie with free nationwide delivery.
At 14 minutes past five, it's time for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We're going to start with local soccer. And after 8 seasons at Finn Park, Gareth Harkin has confirmed he's parted ways with Finn Harps. In a statement on Instagram this morning, the 33-year-old confirmed he was moving on and looking forward to his next challenge in football. He added he felt the time was right to leave, as his efforts and commitment was not valued by manager Ollie Horgan. The midfielder seen limited game time last season, but was involved in the campaign running, which seen Harps secure top flight status in the Premier Division. Sligo Rovers have announced a new strategic partnership with English Premier League side Everton FC. The new agreement will see Sligo and Everton partner on several initiatives and cross-promotional activities, including fan engagement, marketing and content collaborations. Sligo Rovers and Everton Academy coaches will also develop relationships. There has been a wealth of links between both clubs, players and fans. Most notably, Seamus Coleman, of course, made his move from Sligo as a 20-year-old to join the Toffees in 2009. He's gone on to make nearly 300 appearances for the Blues and became captain for club and country. Manchester United have the chance to go top of the Premier League for the first time in over 3 years tonight. The Red Devils will overtake Liverpool at the summit if they earn at least a draw away to Burnley. It's an 8:15 kickoff at Turf Moor. Edison Cavani is also available for United once again. United manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer says it's a more competitive league now to when it was when he was winning titles as a player.
There weren't that many teams that were able to challenge for the top two or top three positions. So in a good year you win, in a bad year you come second or third. Of course now there's so many other teams with the big squads, strong squads that can challenge. We all talk about the top six, but then you have other teams as well that get up there now. And that's due to good work at different clubs, good signings.
That game's at 8:15 tonight, as is the meeting of Wolves and Everton. Seamus Coleman and his Everton teammates will be looking to climb back into the top four. Everton will be without a top scorer, Dominic Calvert-Lewin. It means Gent Tucson will get the rare chance to start in the top flight. Everton manager Carlo Ancelotti is hopeful that the Turkish forward can take his opportunity.
In the FA Cup against Rotterdam, he scored a goal, he scored two goals. He was focused in the box, of course. He was out for a long time. His condition is not at the top, but of course will be useful to have a striker that is used to score goals.
The opening game of this evening sees bottom club Sheffield United hosting Newcastle at 6 o'clock. Sheffield are still looking for the first league win of the season, but did pick up victory in the Cup last weekend. Sheffield manager Chris Wilder is hoping they can use it as a turning point to their season.
There's no downside to winning games of football. We'd have liked to have won a few more at this stage of the season, but that's not been the case, so we have to use everything that we gain, and obviously it was a decent performance, a tough FA Cup tie.
Jose Mourinho believes the Premier League have found a positive solution by rearranging their cancelled game against Fulham tomorrow night. Spurs were due to play Aston Villa, but with that match postponed due to a coronavirus outbreak at the Midlands club, they'll now host Scott Parker's team instead. Mourinho says it's better to play than adding to the already large fixture pileup. Meanwhile, Parker says the Premier League's decision to reschedule that game against Spurs on a two-day notice is scandalous. Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola has confirmed Sergio Aguero won't be involved in tomorrow's Premier League game with Brighton. The striker still isolating after a close contact tested positive for coronavirus. He missed the FA Cup win over Brighton last Sunday. Three members of the Mayo senior football management team have been given 3 month suspensions. The Mayo County Board have imposed the sanctions on the members of James Horan's backroom team after they attended December's All-Ireland football final without accreditation. Under the COVID guidelines at the time, counties were only permitted to bring a management team of 12 into the stadium. The three members of management obtained entry to the stadium by covert methods and were discovered on CCTV. A statement from Mayo GA says that neither the county board nor manager James Horan were aware of their attendance. In other news in Mayo, Peter Leahy has stepped down as the women's senior football manager after 3 years at the helm. He's set to link up with Bernard Flynn's coaching staff with the Meath under-20s. In Formula One, the start of the new season has been delayed, with the traditional opening Grand Prix in Australia being moved back to November because of COVID-19 travel restrictions. The new campaign will now begin in Bahrain on the 28th of March. April's Chinese Grand Prix has also been postponed and will only be rescheduled if another race drops out of the calendar. While finally in rugby, the postponed Pro 14 meeting of Munster and Leinster has been rearranged. The provinces will meet at Thomond Park on Saturday, January 23rd. That date was left vacant after the suspension of the Heineken Champions Cup. That's your sport for today. Michaela, back with more tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Oisin. And returning to some news, a former Garda inspector in Donegal has described the Road Traffic Act as a basket case. There's been ongoing concern surrounding a loophole in the law whereby if a driver is disqualified and does not present their licence in court, then the disqualification is not recorded. It's estimated that almost 90% of disqualified drivers do not surrender their licence. Michael Harrison believes an overhaul of the legislation is needed.
The whole road traffic legislation needs to be completely rewritten. It is a basket case. It's been numerous judges, the late Judge Hardiman, in I think it was his final judgment that he ever delivered in the Supreme Court, he commented on what he wrote 4 pages on the inadequacies of the road traffic legislation and how it needed to be seriously rewritten. But there's no political appetite in Dublin to do this. There's no political appetite or appetite from the RSA to deal with this driving licence problem. As Susan says there, it's something that needs to be dealt with at the very, very start of the process. The driving licence number needs to be recorded so that the RSA know exactly who is the person that is disqualified. And we have seen it. I have seen it in court myself, where somebody's been prosecuted for driving while disqualified and it turns out it was a son or was his nephew that was disqualified for these mismatches that occur. But again, it is the road traffic legislation. It is not fit for purpose.
Some lorries have been left waiting up to 2 days for customs clearance at Dublin Port. 3 in 10 trucks are being delayed as a result of having incomplete customs declarations. The Irish Road Haulers Association has described Dublin Port as a mess and claimed that over 70 truck drivers were waiting clearance overnight last night. Tom Talbot from the Revenue Commissioner's Customs Division has rejected the comments.
We have processed thousands of declarations. We have 250 parking spaces. On Sunday, we had 14 trucks parked up in a port that has a normal traffic of 1.1 million freight vehicles through it. Dublin Port is the busiest port in the country. 1.1 million freight vehicles. I had 14 trucks parked up on Sunday. I wouldn't describe that as a mess in any way.
Gardaí and Letterkenny are investigating an incident of criminal damage at a local business over the weekend. A window was broken at Bookmark at Letterkenny Shopping Centre at around 6 o'clock on Sunday morning last. No entry was gained to the premises. Any witnesses or anyone with information is being urged to contact Letterkenny Garda Station. The US president has given his reaction to attempts to remove him from office. Members of his rival Democratic Party have accused him of incitement of insurrection after his supporters invaded the US Capitol building on Wednesday. Donald Trump was speaking before he got on his plane for a visit to part of the border wall being put up between the US and Mexico. He claims the attempts to impeach him will cause more anger.
It's really a continuation of the greatest witch hunt in the history of politics. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. This impeachment is causing tremendous anger.
Weather now, rain moving in tonight, turning heavy at times with a risk of surface flooding. Cold early in the night with lows of 1 to 3 degrees, but temperatures rising to 5 to 8 degrees by morning. Just to have a look at the closing headlines, a five-year investigation into mother and baby homes has found an appalling level of infant mortality among children born there. Out of the 18 homes examined by the Commission of Investigation, 9,000 children died. 56,000 unmarried mothers, ranging from 12 years to women in their 40s, along with 57,000 children, lived in the institutions. The Taoiseach says staffing levels at Letterkenny University Hospital are further impounding the pressures facing the hospital in dealing with COVID-19. Around 170 staff members are currently absent from work at the hospital after testing positive for the virus or being deemed a close contact. Gardaí have confirmed that a fire at a solicitor's office in Dunloe last week was started deliberately. The fire broke out at the premises in Dunloe Business Park in the early hours of Thursday morning, January the 2nd. And a former Garda inspector in Donegal has described the Road Traffic Act as a basket case. There's been ongoing concern surrounding a loophole in the law whereby if a driver is disqualified and does not present their licence in court, then the disqualification is not recorded. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Tuesday evening, January the 12th. The death has taken place of Liam Daly, late of Bonmore Road, formerly of Birmingham. Due to the current restrictions, the house and funeral will be strictly private. Family flowers only, donations in lieu of flowers if desired to Alzheimer's Society NI, Kerr O'Neill's funeral directors. The death has taken place of Dennis McGonigal, Castle Avenue, Buncrana. Remains will repose in McLaughlin's funeral home this evening, with removal from there at 22:02 tomorrow afternoon, going to St Mary's Church, Coghill, to repose overnight. Funeral mass on Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Requiem mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv/Coghill. The death has taken place of Finbar Whelan, 19 Foxes Glen, Milford, and formerly Crumlin, County Dublin. Remains will repose at his home. Requiem mass on Thursday morning at 11 o'clock in St Peter's Church, Milford. Cremation in Mount Jerome Crematorium, Harold's Cross, Dublin, on Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Cremation can be viewed on vimeo.com/event/153499. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and cremation are private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Rosary tonight and tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. Funeral mass and rosary can be viewed on churchservices.tv/Milford. The death has taken place of Noreen Patton, née Devenny, late of Greaves Park, Strabane. Funeral leaving Quigley's funeral home tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock, going to St Mary's Church, Melmount, for Requiem Mass on Thursday afternoon at 12:30. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The funeral mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam, melmountparish.com/webtv.html. The death has taken place of Teresa Coyle, Naoimh McCool, 98, at Ballycommon Estates, Strabane, and formerly of Newton Stewart. Fiona leaving her home on Thursday morning at 25 past nine for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers placed to the Foyle Hospice, a care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with the current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The funeral mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam, mcnmedia.tv/camera/Church of the Immaculate Conception Strabane. The death has taken place in Stevenage, England, of Frank McCrory, formerly of Carrick Elangan, Clohan. Funeral will take place in England at a later date. The death has taken place in Vancouver, Canada, of George McConnell, formerly of Smiley's Brae Convoy. Cremation to take place in Vancouver. Ashes to be interred in the family plot in Convoy Presbyterian Church graveyard at a date to be confirmed later. The death has taken place of James O'Kane to Melmount Villas, Strabane. Fiona leaving his home tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock, going to St Mary's Church, Melmount, for Requiem Mass on Thursday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers placed to Dementia NI, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with the current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The funeral mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam, melmountparish.com/webtv.html. The death has taken place of Anne-Marie Brennan, née White, 13 Finnside Close, Lifford, and formerly of 33 Crohan Heights, Lifford. Fiona leaving her home tomorrow morning at 25 past 10 for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Murlock, Lifford at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers placed to the Irish Wheelchair Association, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The funeral mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam, clonleaparish.com/webcam. The death has occurred of Margaret McCarran, née McMenamin, Maharan, Rafoe. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are private to immediate family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Funeral from Kelly's Funeral Home via the back road, Margaret's late residence and the Diamond Rafoe, tomorrow morning going to St Junan's Church, Rafoe, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, which can be viewed on parishofrafoe.com, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to St Vincent de Paul Society, Rafoe, care of any family member or Kelly's Funeral Directors. And the death has taken place of Betty Goldsmith, named Maxwell, 10A Tullymoan Road, Claddy. Fiona leaving Quigley's funeral home this evening at 6:30, going to St Columba's Church, Dunnyloop, for Requiem Mass on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock. Cremation afterwards in Lakelands at Crematorium Cavan. Donations in lieu of flowers placed to Plan International UK, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The funeral mass can be viewed live via the Ernie and Castlefin Parish streaming service.